Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to Bottoming, the LGBTQ mental health podcast about rock bottoming and beyond. Kindly sponsored by Joe Malone London.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at bottomingpod or visit bottomingpodcast.com for more content relating to each episode.
We've also added a support page to the website to direct you to the right place if you're struggling or need someone to talk to.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Hello, I'm Matthew.
And I'm Brendan, and our pronouns are he and him.
You are listening to Bottoming.
Episode 4.
And today, our guests are Lorraine Pinto mm-hmm. of Black Queer Travel Guide and Liam Resende from Checking In. And if you haven't got the gist of what the episode's about from those two things, we're talking about travelling.
It's actually got a theme this episode.
It does have a theme, travelling as queers. But before we go into that, how have you been?
That seems like very fast and dry. God, I have to take a breath. I've been all over the place. I've been all over the place
around
still.
Around town and everything.
Oh, God. Around the mental states and everything. Yeah, I've been up and down recently, and I'm not sure what is... you know, going on. Mm-hmm. I haven't been this up and down for a long time. But, and it's like one of those things that I keep having to learn about myself. And I think it's just going to be an ongoing thing, which is like understanding what I need in specific moments mm-hmm. and not giving away too much when I'm in social situations and putting more protections in place. Mm-hmm. And I think just understanding where I'm at before even entering like social situations. For instance, I went home this weekend, which was really nice. I saw family. I saw my friend and her new baby, Henry, Becky's baby, Henry, who's adorable. But coming away from that, I was just an absolute shell. So it's just going to take a bit more learning mm-hmm. about myself and continuing to just try and tune in. But it's mm-hmm. difficult. It's really difficult. Especially when there aren't like direct triggers that you can, I don't know, we want to point blame everywhere. Mm. We want to just be like, look, that was what happened. Yeah. This is why you're feeling like that. X plus Y equals Z.
E equals MC squared.
Thank you, Einstein.
Mariah Carey.
So that's where I'm at. Where are you? Mm.
The reason I've just been laughing is because the session I had after recording our last episode.
oh, yeah, I remember.
It was a really, really intense session. Mm-hmm. the counsellor. And it kind of, it went all over the place. It was approaching topics that I'm still really uncomfortable approaching. And just as I was about to kind of like, you know, properly go into it, the internet cut out. Like I lost, because I'm obviously doing it over Zoom, I lost the counsellor. And it took about 15 minutes to get back in. There was a phone call in between. There was like people, both of us reset our internet. Both of us had fine internet. It just wasn't working. And immediately come kind of the first thing that I was asked when we managed to get back into the session was like, how did that make you feel? And I just thought it was hilarious. Because it just kind of, in one part, well, part of me, I was like, well, that is the world telling me that I shouldn't be doing this.
No.
And that like, I shouldn't be touching that topic yet. But then at the same time, I was like, you know, we've mentioned a lot around loads of different things we've spoken about is that you do have to just approach some of these things with like with a bit of humour and like by laughing at them, because it did make me feel better. I mean, I had a headache leaving the session because it was such an intense, it was such an intense hour, but yeah, it just kind of helped ground it a little bit.
Yeah.
Just the fact that like, shit still happens no matter what. So, but on a more positive note, I had the second session that I had last week, and that felt like a really productive session. It kind of was a lot more top level, but some of the stuff that we're touching on again, I didn't really think would be the direction I would go in with it. And it's just got me thinking quite a lot about, rather than things that have impacted me that I'm trying to process, it's got me more thinking about like how I view myself, which is something I think I didn't realize that I haven't, I've not done properly. I kind of view myself as like as a separate, me and my body as a separate entity to my mind. So I'm still processing that, and like how I work with that, which has been interesting, I guess. But yeah, other than that, I think I'm feeling on top of things at the minute, which is good. Out and about.
Yeah.
I know not many of us have been doing that.
Oh, honey.
For the last at least 18 months. But we had seen Black Queer Travel Guide crop up on socials a few times with a fundraiser they put out. And it was founded by Paula Akpan, who is an incredible writer, academic. I know she's doing a PhD, master's, about lesbian history. She just is one of those powerhouse sort of people you see on socials and just think is incredible. But she founded Black Queer Travel Guide. And yeah, we were just really interested in finding a little bit more out about it, because I think as queers, traveling is not like an easy process for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And especially when you add the intersections of kind of gender, ethnicity, socioeconomic background, all of those things, when you add those in together, it can become a lot more difficult. Have you, I mean, we've been on holiday once before together.
Together.
It was 3 gays.
I completely forgot about that. I think I only arrived, I joined you later there like and left you
21
before.
Hours.
Yeah.
Flew and left on the same day.
Yeah. Couldn't get the holiday back then.
But yeah, I think that was maybe one of the first times I felt othered on holiday. Obviously, we were 3 gays, but like I'd been conscious of where we travelled to. And I always used to Google the country I travelled to before going, just to like suss the vibe out.
Yeah.
Like we've never been attacked physically.
No.
For being gay somewhere, but it's just more a feeling that I think you're given, or as you say, like the type of looks.
And there's like you're somehow like letting off a signal, and then you start to question, oh, is it what I'm wearing? Is it like, have I said something overly camp? Yeah. Is it the way I'm talking or asking for a, can I have a pint, please?
Yeah.
Which doesn't matter at all. Yeah. It just makes you feel when you're kind of, you know, pointed out.
Yeah. It's just a really interesting topic that I think, you know, we all kind of understand it. And if you speak to anyone else that's queer, they kind of understand it because they've experienced it firsthand. But in the past, especially in previous jobs, when I worked with the majority of straight people, they were like shocked and flabbergasted that I was Googling like gay rights in, or like LGBT equality in, because it's just not a consideration that can just travel.
Gay rights.
Gay rights. So yeah, that's why we wanted to find out a bit more about this topic specifically and just go into it, because
can be a very, very stressful thing as well when you're either in situations that are kind of out of your comfort zone, or it can just bring on a lot of anxiety, which can obviously affect your mental health as well. So,
and we're all gagging for a holiday. So if you're not got anything booked, you can just listen to this and pretend. Maybe you can put some airline effect over the top.
I might have to start thinking about another solo trip away, maybe.
But yeah, with that being said, we will hand over to Lorraine Pinto, who works for Black Queer Travel Guide.
Hi, my name's Lorraine, and I'm the community manager at Black Queer Travel Guide. My pronouns are they, them. The Black Queer Travel Guide is an intelligent and affordable native app and digital platform that facilitates the safety of its Black Queer users and allies.
So what was it that ignited the idea? Obviously, I think we can guess why.
Yeah.
Can you give us a bit of background as to kind of what kicked it all off?
So our founder, Paula, was looking for places to go on holiday with her now fiancé. And they wanted to go to Tanzania, and then kind of realized from Google searches and it just wasn't really somewhere where they could go and guarantee their safety. So then Paula was like, wait, like, why isn't there somewhere to just bring all the information into one place instead of us having to go through whirlwinds of Google tabs and so much research to figure out where it can go, especially because when you're Googling things, it's very, okay, you're either going, okay, let's look at queer stuff, and then we have to go, okay, now let's look at black stuff, and then let's see where that meets in the middle. So it can be quite a draining process. Like, usually you think, oh, hey, I'm going to book a holiday, it's so exciting, like, blah, blah, blah. But generally, if you're black and queer, it can be quite daunting. So that's, yeah, that's how it all came to.
And so why do you think there hasn't been a resource like this available before? Like, as minorities, like you just mentioned, we always have to think for our safety in new spaces. But with so many other travel guides available, it seems like an essential.
Honestly, I think that we've probably just been forgotten about being both black and queer. I think that as bad as the pandemic was, Paula managed to do a lot of research and talk to activists from all around the world to kind of get a gist of like what we can do to make things better. So I think being able to slow down has allowed for us to actually do this instead of, you know, having loads of little post-it notes stuck around everywhere and sharing resources with friends or just like using friends as kind of guides. Yeah, I feel like when it comes to the black and queer community, it's definitely something that's forgotten about. It's always, you're just always having to piece things together.
I mean, I can immediately think of a few times when I've either traveled and like had to kind of check myself kind of in spaces that I'm in there, and I've spoken with straight friends as well who kind of, I've always been shocked when I've Googled like LGBT rights in, you know, whatever, or kind of to sense check where I'm going. Have you got any similar experiences that you'd maybe want to share with us?
I've always been quite mindful, especially coming from a family that's entirely mixed race. My parents are mixed race, all of my grandparents are mixed race, all of my great grandparents, and so on and so on. So I've always kind of had to be a bit of a chameleon in each environment. So I've always adapted quite quickly. I think that in this sense, mainly more in like working situations. So like when dealing in like customer facing roles, you kind of just have to, yeah, just kind of go along, and you'll get people that say unpleasant things or just assume something and or misgender you. So that's generally the only time. I think I've been quite fortunate in that sense. but that's only because I'm super, super mindful. And there are also certain places where I just won't go. Mm. Like, I spent most of my childhood going to Portugal to visit family members every summer holiday, Christmas holiday. And generally after that, whenever I've traveled, I tend to always go back to a place that I know. So I feel a bit more comfortable, even if everything isn't where it needs to be. Like, it's still that kind of like familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I definitely avoid places so I don't get that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I camouflage.
And do you think, in terms of the, like I say, like, of awareness that a lot of people have as to this as an issue, have you seen that? Like, have people either questioned or been surprised that this is something that's needed?
I think it's more of a case that people have been shocked that there isn't something there, and just kind of like the unawareness out of that community. But yeah, it's mainly been shock against, like, oh, okay, this doesn't exist, like, how can this be? Opposed to, oh no, you shouldn't have that. But then I also try to not be around crowds of people that would think like that.
Yeah
It makes a difference.
So I do I do avoid situations. But I have had customers come up to me on a Sunday morning and I'm making them like a coffee, and they'll be like, oh, I watched this film and I didn't realize that, you know, she was a lesbian, and I was so disgusted by it, and no, you know what I mean, and blah blah blah. And I'm just like, no, I don't know what you mean, but I just don't want to have this conversation with you on a Sunday morning. Please take your coffee and leave. But then I think that's, you know, just from working in Zone 1 in Central London, it can be a bit...
So frustrating. Yeah. So we noticed you're a community interest company, which gives a lot of room for growth. Where do you want to go with Black Queer Travel Guide in the coming months and years?
Oh, there's so much. To begin with, we want to continue to fundraise so we are able to build our app, which we're hoping by like 2024 that can be a thing. But above that, we want to just be able to like grow into a community that supports local Black queer businesses, have an ambassador network, kind of like travel guides. So if you do go to somewhere, you can book in time with someone and they can show you around like their spots, so you can get more of an actual feel to what it's like being Black and queer there, and if there's any exhibitions that you can go to or favorite local hotspots, then we can do that too. There's so much. We want to be able to have conferences and like workshops and like retreats and like bring loads of people together, and eventually we hope to be able to have a mutual aid pot, so we are able to help Black queer people in communities where it's still illegal to exist, and yeah, just be able to provide that extra funding and support. So that's our aim. We want to make sure that we're continuously connecting our communities. Being queer and Black can be quite isolating. I'm sure we're all very aware of that, especially after being in a pandemic, thinking about the global South, being in places where you can't exist freely. So we do want to make sure that we can safely provide that space for you to know that you're not alone and there are people here and we can support each other. So it's really exciting.
That sounds so exciting.
Yeah, I think it sounds so amazing. It's so much more as well than just a guide. I just said, the opportunity for it is just so incredible.
Yeah, we've been quite lucky. There's a lot going on. We've got some exciting projects that we'll be announcing over the next couple of months as well. There's some brands who are fundraising to help us. So it's really exciting.
Sweet. So obviously you mentioned the fundraiser, which we'll, for people listening, we'll put in our website and we'll share the links and stuff again. But what else can anyone listening do to get involved?
Spread the word about the Black Queer Travel Guide. It's important for people to know that it exists and that space is necessary. You can follow us on socials, on Instagram and LinkedIn. We're just Black Queer Travel Guide. On Twitter, we're Black Queer TG. You can join our mailing list. You can keep up to date with anything that's going on, which you can find in our link tree on our Instagram. Like you mentioned, we have the GoFundMe new page too. But yeah, just helping spread awareness is great, and to help build our community. Oh, if you want, you can check out the kind of like web app prototype on the blackqueertravelguide.com. And it kind of gives you a gist of what it could look like.
Yeah, it's so amazing. I'm so excited to see where it goes.
I'm really excited as well. It's beautiful. Every time we have a team meeting, which are bi-weekly, or even in like my weekly meetings with Paula, I always leave like so inspired and excited. And there's so many different branches, and like when you look at the bigger picture, there is so much more that you can do. And it definitely is going to be more than an app, which is beautiful in itself.
Thanks for joining us, Lorraine. Bloody lovely talking to you. We've just noticed some posts that have been popping up on Instagram. You can follow them at Black Queer Travel Guide on Instagram, Black Queer TG on Twitter, and check out their website at www.theblackqueertravelguide.com.
Fab. Very excited to see what happens next. So on the continued topic of travel, we do have two guests this week, as we mentioned.
You lucky, lucky sods.
So next, we are going to speak to Liam Resende. Liam is co-founder of a LGBT network called Checking In. He explains much better than I would what they do. But essentially, the reason we wanted to speak to him and about Checking In is to kind of get a little bit of the flip side of what it's like to travel. So Checking In is basically a network for people in the travel and hospitality industry. And we just wanted to see, I guess, what it's like behind the scenes and how that impacts the experiences that we have when we're traveling as well. So, here is Liam.
Hi, my name is Liam. My pronouns are he, him, and I am the co-founder of Checking In, which is the UK's LGBT plus travel and hospitality industry network.
Can you give us a bit of background as to what Checking In is, and also what kickstarted it?
Yeah, certainly. So Checking In started back in 2018. So previously I used to work within hospitality, and then the panorama happened. I used to work at Hyatt Hotels, and I was heavily involved in the LGBT network at Hyatt. And also sort of saw the value that the LGBT network brought to the company. So in terms of, you know, in terms of recruitment strategy, in terms of cultivating a sense of belonging, in terms of, you know, all of the different sort of things that come around with like come along with an employee resource group. And then I was also involved in just, you know, going to LGBT events and networking events. And I realized quickly that there wasn't an industry network for hospitality. And I think we kind of took that for granted because the hospitality industry is, you know, some would say oversubscribed by LGBT plus people. And, you know, we kind of wondered why. And, you know, when we started speaking to a lot of people, they said, oh, it's because it's not needed. You know, it's, you know, there's so many LGBT plus people, which in actuality, they mean, you know, there's so many gay men.
Yeah.
Which is usually the visible ones. And then what we did, so the co-founder, Will, and I, you know, we called a couple hotel companies and we asked to speak to HR, and we said, hi, could you tell me a little bit more about your trans inclusive policies? You know, and it was like crickets on the other side of the phone. And what we found as well, when we were speaking to sort of senior LGBT people within the industry, you know, even some of them said that the industry network wasn't needed. And I think it was because, well, partly because most of them that we spoke to were white, and there's, you know, a certain privilege that comes with that as well. But they felt as though that, you know, I made it, you know, and I was able to succeed and grow within my career, you know, and they never really acknowledge the real challenges that LGBT plus people face within the industry. So Yeah, and so we launched back in 2018, which originally was sort of like a hotel network. And then people from restaurants and bars and contract catering were like, what about us? And, you know, and it just sort of evolved into a hospitality network. And, you know, so it's relatively young. And then you have the pandemic in the middle of it. So, you know, I think now we're starting to just sort of re-engage with our members and our community. And, you know, the biggest challenge that we have right now is staffing within the hospitality industry. You know, we lost a lot of people in the industry. So I think that's sort of our objectives over the next couple of months.
So typically the hospitality industry is seen as quite a diverse space. Is this your experience, and what impact do you think this has on the experiences queer people have when traveling?
So I would say definitely the hospitality industry is diverse. I'm not too sure if it's, you know, fully inclusive. I think what we've had within the industry is, or should I take a step back? We've had industries like, for example, law and banking and, you know, finance, where traditionally it's been quite difficult for people to be themselves, for, you know, that have been sort of, that haven't really been welcoming. So a lot of investment went into ensuring that those, you know, industries and corporations and organizations became more inclusive. And I think, you know, as I mentioned before, I think hospitality industry kind of took for granted the number of LGBT plus people within it and, you know, kind of got a little bit complacent and felt like there isn't really a problem. But, you know, I say that, but I do think that the hospitality and travel industry has been a very popular industry for LGBT plus people. You know, as I mentioned, it is oversubscribed, overrepresented by LGBT plus people. And I think it's, you know, it's sort of inclusive, it's sort of diverse by nature. And also I think the other thing that I've witnessed within the hospitality industry is it's one of the few industries that you can enter with no qualifications, no experience whatsoever, and really build a lifelong fulfilling career. You know, I started, when I think back to my time, you know, I started back in Trinidad, you know, at the front desk of the hotel, you know, and then spent, you know, years just sort of progressing within Hyatt, you know, and ended up, you know, leaving Hyatt earlier this year, you know, looking after marketing for all of our openings across Europe, Middle East, Africa, and Asia, and Southwest Asia. And, you know, I never went to university. I never did any sort of formal training. So I think that there's a lot to be said about the opportunity that the industry gives to LGBT plus people that, you know, have historically been systematically excluded from some of these opportunities. So yeah, I think it's really great in some instances, but I think we have become the industry has become a little bit complacent as well.
Do you think having, as you say, like an oversubscribed industry workforce, do you think that plays out positively for queer travelers? You know, when it comes to, say, some areas of the world that maybe have slightly less progressive views, for both queer people, but also, you know, queer people of colour, depending on different countries we're travelling to. Do you think having the more inclusive industry kind of provides a bit of encouragement, security, but also can help shift views in that country?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think, you know, studies show that post 9/11, the LGBT market were one of the, you know, one of the few markets that came back very quickly. And I think that LGBT travelers, you know, and this is obviously speaking very generally, LGBT travelers tend to be less risk averse. You know, there's still, you know, however much 70 countries that still criminalize, you know, homosexual acts or whatever the figure is, you know, but LGBT plus people are still traveling to those places and travel to those places, you know, every single day. And I do think that by traveling to those places, you know, is this sort of like there's a duality of the transformative power that or impact that you experience when traveling, but also the impact that you make on those places.
Mm.
And, you know, as someone coming from Trinidad and Tobago, which up to 2018 still criminalized homosexuality, you know, and this is a somewhat controversial statement, but, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, I will never travel to X country because of, you know, the LGBT thing. You know, and that sort of like pains me a little because I know Trinidad and Tobago will sort of fall into that category. And I think it's quite sad that, you know, someone wouldn't want to experience our culture and experience what we have to offer and that kind of thing. And I think the reality is I always tell people is that, you know, regardless of what the laws are or, you know, what the leadership is in those countries or the rights that LGBT plus people have, it doesn't change the fact that there are LGBT plus people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, I think it's obviously first and foremost, it's paramount that you only travel to places that you feel a sense, you know, of safety and security. Of course, that's important. But I also think sometimes we need to challenge ourselves around that thinking. You know, some of the most amazing travel experiences I've had have been, you know, Oman, Indonesia, Russia. You know, I remember when I was going to Moscow and St. Petersburg, and as someone who's like relatively, you know, everyone knows I'm gay, you know what I mean? Like it's all over. I'm pretty gay.
We've seen your Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty gay. You know, so when people saw that I was going to Russia or that I was in Russia, you know, I had a lot of people reach out to me and be like, I can't believe you gone to Russia, like, you know, how they treat people. You know, and I spent a lot of time before I traveled to Russia seeking out gay-owned restaurants, gay-owned bars. You know, I ended up meeting some incredible gay Russians when I was in Moscow. So I think that, you know, there is an opportunity for us to, you know, just, you know, as I said, challenge how we spend our money, because I think it is easy to sort of just decide that you won't go. And I think obviously everyone has their right to do that. But I think you can be more mindful and you can be more thoughtful and you can support LGBT plus people in those places because I also see it as using your privilege as a tourist, because the reality is that when you travel to some of these destinations, you do go with a privilege, you know, because you don't necessarily, you know, experience the same sort of societal structures. You're not in it, basically, within those destinations. So there is a privilege, but then you have the opportunity to challenge local stereotypes, the stereotypes of LGBT plus people, and there are many international hotel chains that are in, you know, that are in these destinations. There are many LGBT plus owned small businesses, travel lodges, you know, Airbnbs that are in these things. So I think we just need to, as LGBT plus people, first and foremost, you know, go where we feel comfortable going, because I also appreciate that that's my position as a, you know, cisgender gay man, and that's not necessarily the same experience. It's probably a little easier for me to sort of say that, but I do think that there is an opportunity for us to just challenge that.
Definitely. And to go back to the industry in general, with your work and experience in mind, do you see things moving in a positive and more inclusive direction quick enough?
No, I think there's never enough, you know, progress is not being made quick enough in all different spheres. You know, in the UK, you know, we can talk ad nauseum about how, you know, transgender rights are regressing within this country. You know, there's reports that, you know, trans people are intentionally harassed and humiliated when traveling. So, you know, of course, we're not making enough progress. And I think the reality is that the COVID-19 pandemic has disproportionately impacted the travel industry, and has and by extension has, you know, the nature of what it's done has disproportionately impacted LGBT plus people. Because as I said, the industry is overrepresented by LGBT plus people. So if you think of the number of people that have lost their jobs, or the number of people that have been without an income for such a long time, across, you know, in the Caribbean, you know, they're still fledgling to, you know, in the UK, things are starting to open up and we're able to go out and that kind of thing. But, you know, in a lot of these, in a lot of these destinations where their countries depend, their economies, you know, their tourism-based economies are not at the, you know, are at sort of 2019 levels. And, you know, reports show that we probably won't be at 2019 levels until sort of 2025. You know, so if you think about all of the LGBT plus people that are employed within this industry and the impact that that's have is monumental. So I think, no, we're not doing enough, you know, and we're not doing enough in the UK. You know, I was reading recently about a trans and non-binary person that went to this went to a travel awards and a travel industry awards and was being heckled by people within the industry, and this is in London. You know, so, you know, I think we can't be complacent. There is so much that needs to be done, and that's even before we start to think about outside of the UK, you know, and the rest of the world.
To shift gears to a much more personal question, where's the best place you visited and why?
I always find that difficult. I heard like a really sort of cheesy response to this question where someone said the best place they've ever visited is the next place they're going to visit, which is super cheesy. So I'm not going to say that, but I actually genuinely feel that way. It's difficult, you know, with my last job, I traveled to so many different places, and the irony is that, you know, some of the most, you know, the places that I've traveled to and probably have been the best travel destinations, when I think about Tanzania, when I think about, you know, Indonesia, when I think about Jamaica, when I think about, you know, Russia, you know, some of these are what I would kind of put up as some of the best destinations that I've been to. But I think it's, you know, it's about being more intentional with your traveling, and really thinking about, okay, I want to visit these countries. I mean, they're some of the most stunning. I mean, the architecture in the Middle East, the architecture in Russia, the natural environment in the Middle East, in some of the Middle Eastern countries, are, you know, there's nothing like it in other places of the world. And I think it's unfortunate that we are, that LGBT plus people don't feel safe to travel to those places. But I genuinely believe that, you know, with a little bit more intention and thought and mindfulness, you can travel to those places. That, you know, there's incredible LGBT plus travel agencies that help travelers feel safe when going to these destinations. So yeah, so I guess the one thing I would kind of like say is, you know, don't just rule out a country as a travel destination because of, you know, the laws that exist by, you know, a government that probably LGBT plus people don't agree with either.
Yeah.
And the fact is that they are like us, trying to thrive, trying to succeed, trying to live. And if we are able to support that by going to those places and seeking them out, and supporting, you know, their businesses and their organizations, I think would be is sort of like the most important, and that is where you see the power of travel and the transformative power of travel, I think.
So where can we go to find more out about checking in?
Checkingin.co.uk. You can, it's pretty easy if you search online checking in LGBT, and we should come up, hopefully. If not, send me a message and I'll make sure that I do. At checking in UK on Instagram.
Liam is such a treat to chat to, isn't he?
Yeah.
So knowledgeable, incredibly experienced. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Liam.
Thank you.
Okay, come on now.
Ow!
Fourth time's a charm.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, positive thing of the week. Mm-hmm. Can I go first?
You can go first.
Well, for those on camera who might notice, I've had my hair cut. So I would like to say that my positive thing of the week is my sister Mary for cutting my hair.
Yeah.
And being such a fantastic hairdresser. She's incredibly talented. She's been nominated for the British Hairdressing Awards this year. So fingers crossed, Mary. If anyone is in Nottingham, based in Nottingham, she works at KH Salons. And go get your hair did.
I will say, actually, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. She, after listening to the last episode, she did message me about the therapy thing when I said I couldn't find the routine. Just with some recommendations as to kind of suggestions as to what she thought would help. And it was stuff I've done in the past and kind of it was off the table of things I was doing at the minute because I kind of just forgot. So yeah, I really appreciate that little message and little nudge into doing stuff again. So yeah, thanks, Mary. My positive thing of the week is actually, obviously, if you listen to the past, I talk a lot about music.
Talk a lot for
whether
stuff.
It's playlists. Obviously made the Pride playlist, but I it was a really, really good music week last week for album releases. And I am gonna say album of the year. My personal favourite album of the year.
Yeah.
Who Michael Chakraverty mentioned her. But Self Esteem. The album Prioritize Pleasure that she released last week is incredible. It is bold. It's exciting. It's like musically amazing, the whole thing. And like the themes of the album as well are basically just like not taking shit from people. She talks a lot about her treatment in the music industry, especially from men and men online and just men generally and the way they've treated her. And it's just about kind of reprioritizing yourself in things. And yeah, it's just start to finish. It's just like, it's a fantastic album. So that was my highlight because I haven't had it off since it came out last week. That's it.
That is your lot.
That is your lot. That is your. We're going to embed that whether people like it or not.
Yeah. We're starting to gather a couple of regular sayings. We'll get merch out soon.
It's only taken, what, 3 seasons to find some consistency?
Oh, God. We'll throw them all out of the window next season. So don't get used to us being this on it. Thanks for joining us. It's been a really fun episode, actually.
It has. I'm actually... I feel like I've
You're welling up?
No, not well. I feel like I'm a bit... I've like gone a bit...
Flustered.
Flustered, yeah.
Oh.
I just feel like I've really, really overheated in the last 5 minutes.
Oh, which is... This is the outro, so if you don't mind, we get it done, then you can cool down.
As always,
yeah.
Please... go and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
As we've mentioned, you know, Apple still have loads of issues. You can only leave 5 stars.
It's just so weird. Yeah.
So if you can leave us a 5-star review, that would be hugely appreciated.
Yeah. For some reason, Apple does hold all of the golden tickets when it comes to reviews, so...
Yeah. Although, I will say, success this week. We made it into the top 10 in Armenia.
Oh, that's so true.
If you've listened to us from Armenia...
Top 3, actually.
Top 3. If you've listened to us in Armenia, thanks.
Thanks so much, Armenia.
Yeah. yeah, let's, you know, get listening to other countries and we'll see what else we can do. And then we'll get travelling to those.
Then we'll get travelling.
There we go, bottoming.
We'll be
all
going
around
through, no, yeah.
The towns and cities.
And cities.
Whatever.
And countries.
Countries. We will let you go now. So thanks as always for listening. See you in a couple of weeks.
You are doing amazing, sweetie.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.